Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of We Watch Shudder, specifically Michelle in Review Edition.
Michelle in Review! Sunday, Sunday, Sunday! Well, it's like a Tuesday, but, you know, I don't know what's happened, Michelle. Hi, I'm JD. I didn't even give her a chance to ask me who's here with her.
I'm
oh,
so
my
scared.
God. Here's the good thing about this. Look, guys, you know what Michelle in Review is at this point. If you don't, tough. We're just going to do it. And here's the thing. Just before we went live to record, I said to Michelle, you know, I was looking here quickly at my watch histories from various services, and I'm pretty sure there's not a single thing I was able to watch this month that we didn't already talk about on the show. So I'm just going to shut up, and you just keep going. And maybe if I have something worthwhile to say somewhere along the line, I will pop in. But this would, if there has ever been a Michelle in Review, this one's going to be it. Take it away.
Oh, I kind of wish this was one of the months where I went completely ham on my movie watching then. I did total up my media consumption for April. Those of you who listen to the podcast know that I consume way too much media. April, I decided I needed to get caught up on some of my reading. So I only got through 39 movies, some TV shows and miniseries, 4 books, and I got caught up on some podcasts. That is a very light month for me.
Yeah, I feel like maybe some of you are just becoming listeners of the podcast. We've had some nice small growth in our show lately, and you may think that Michelle is kidding.
I am not.
But
I'm
no,
not at all. I'm disappointed.
No, this is a light month.
Numbers.
Michelle
this
watches
is,
sometimes 4 movies on 4 different screens at the same time because she's a crazy
only
person.
Only 3.
Okay, 3. Look, if
I'm
exaggerating, if I'm exaggerating, it's because I want to make the story badass. So, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway,
okay. Well,
go
sorry.
Ahead.
4 of them. One of them is my neighbor's TV. Just I'm watching 3 in my own home. And what are they up to? Add that to the list. Okay, so this is going to be somewhat a light month, but you know what? We've hit you with some longer episodes lately. Maybe this is what you need. Also, maybe this will turn into what it always does every time I say it's going to be a quick episode and we get 3 hours of Saw. Who knows? I don't yet. I'm not from the future. So how I divide my media consumption in the Michelle in Review is recent horror, older horror, which we have deemed COVID or before, non-horror news, just a fun little spot where I can put some of the news I'm most excited about, and then literature. Don't worry, not fancy tomes or anything like that. I do include manga and comics and maybe like a fun Reddit thread I read once. If I read it, it counts as literature.
Would you foresee ever possibly a situation where you didn't necessarily talk about a movie in the movie section, but you specifically talked about it in the literature section because you were especially impressed with the subtitles?
I was about to say, if it had really good subtitles.
Oh, I didn't.
If
I just I read this movie.
16 squelching subtitles. 16 squelching subtitles in literature.
I didn't have time to watch it. I was too busy reading it.
True. Yes, there were so many. I would actually kind of love that experience, like in a crazy amount of subtitles would be
remember
fun.
When I wasn't gonna have much to say this episode.
Yeah, this is what you pop in for, though. Otherwise it would just be me with a microphone and
ta-da!
God, we would have no listeners. No listeners.
Oh, we have at least 3 listeners. Yeah, your husband would listen.
All my friends.
Aaron would listen.
John never listens unless he hears the game.
Jenna might continue listening.
Yeah.
You know, did you say John never listens? Did I just
catch
John that?
Yeah, John never,
Jesus.
Never
John.
Listens to the podcast. I
now
know,
I can't even
right?
scold him for not listening because he's not listening. That's
Aaron's
the worst part about people
behind.
Not listening.
I know. All my friends have abandoned me. I am alone with nothing but a microphone.
Well, let's be
That's
fair.
How it should be.
None of our friends on either side of this duo expected we would ever make it to 202 episodes and 2.5 years later.
True.
They were like, Jesus, these. I thought this was going to be some flash in the pan thing they did for about 3 months and got bored
me
with
too.
It. Me too. Frankly, I may have made that. I may have bet against myself on that one. Do you think they're going to make it to 200 episodes?
Yes.
Eh, that's
Never
questionable.
No.
We did have that brilliant idea of doing an episode every day in October every year. That definitely helped.
And we've done it twice now. And a third time we're going to do
it again.
Up.
We're going to do it again. Speaking of which, as long as we're talking about it, if you have any personal favorite Halloween-themed horror movies or horror movies that take place on Halloween that are not from the Halloween franchise, that's an important part of it. It can't be like a Michael Myers Halloween movie. Cannot be Halloween 3. Nothing from that franchise. Shoot us an email. Hit us up on the social medias. And maybe we'll watch your favorite Halloween horror movie during Spooktober this year.
I will specify that it does not need to be horror. I don't know if you've seen the list I put together so far, JD. Have you taken a peek? Probably not, because I would have heard you complain about some of my entries.
Well, yeah. See, I wasn't even aware you were building a list yet. Michelle.
Oh, it's just like a compilation. It's not a finalized list.
I'm pretty sure, Michelle.
Yeah.
That this is still a horror movie podcast.
Yep,
is all I'm
but
saying.
You know what? The Mean Girls remake has a song called Halloween.
That's not a movie set in Halloween.
It takes place on Halloween, and there is a huge plot point at a costume party.
I'm going to veto this immediately. No.
Yeah, there's several on there where I'm like, you may think I'm joking, but...
My idea, I just want to be very clear here. I'm pretty sure I said Halloween horror movies, Michelle.
And I did not agree to Michelle. These terms, and I do not negotiate with terrorists, so...
Well, it's a good thing I'm
It'll
not trying to...
It'll probably be horror movies.
You also don't negotiate with the fucking boss either. Oh, wait.
Oh, wow. Rat Factory Media really cracking down over here.
Well, we got an episode coming up after this one where we're going to be talking about severe male power structure toxic fragility. Well, that's the next episode we're going to be talking about. It's American Psycho, guys. That's coming up next week for you listeners, or maybe 6 months ago. I got
to
stop doing that where I reference time in the episode.
Yeah,
no, where I just reference time in the episode, because it's like they might not be listening to this today. They may be listening to it 8 years ago.
Wow.
You know, because it's like 16 years
after the robots take over.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway, so look, enough jibba jabba. Michelle, I believe the first section is always new shit Michelle has seen this month. That's how I call it. I don't think Michelle says new shit I saw this month, but
I haven't been calling it that, but now I might.
To clarify, we don't mean shit in the sense of she's just going to talk about things she saw that she didn't like. I'm just using the colloquial shit, you know. Some shit's pretty good, you know.
General, yeah.
It's good shit.
Fun shit.
Yeah.
Good shit.
For sure.
Yeah.
It's good shit.
Okay.
Tell us about the good shit, Michelle.
Recent horror, aka new shit. I am going to just make a note on my list that I am now calling it both of those titles. Can you hear me typing? Cool. Okay, so recent horror / new shit. The first thing on my list is apparently dropping on Shudder on May 31st. So I don't know if it should be on my list anymore. Stop motion. But maybe we'll cover
please
it after
stop.
The show later.
No, yep, please. I mean, we're definitely doing an episode about it. And I only say that not because I don't want to hear your thoughts already.
Oh, I don't want to give them if we're doing an episode. Yep.
Well, I mean, it's a Shudder release, Michelle. It's on the schedule. Do you not pay attention to our own schedule?
The schedule on the website only goes through May 20 or May 18th, which is why I asked you if I was picking the later show.
Are you sure? Because if you hit the button on the bottom that says more, it'll show you
There's
the stuff that comes
page?
After May 18th. Yeah.
Okay. I have no idea.
There's
cool.
been a second page of episode titles for like a year, Michelle. Are you really just finding out that there are two pages of episode?
Yep.
We're totally professional here.
I follow my Excel spreadsheet instead, and that should be a surprise to nobody.
It's not. No, we're definitely going to be talking about that. And I have heard from several people that this is one they really believe I'm probably going to really like. And so I'm trying to avoid as much information as possible about it.
Perfect.
Mostly because of what happened recently with Late Night with the Devil. We'll talk about that at the end when Michelle's done.
Yeah, so I will say nothing about it. I did want to mention it, even though I thought we were going to cover it on the show, so that I could springboard a short film that I went down like a stop motion claymation rabbit hole after seeing that, because it's one of those art styles that makes me uncomfortable. An operator from Sam Barnett on YouTube needs to be checked out by anybody who is a fan of short horror films, really fucked up horror films, really upsetting art styles of horror. Operator from Sam Barnett. It is a three-part series. Apparently, it took years in between each of those parts to get released. Total, it's like 40 minutes, and I need so much more of it. So I did want to mention stop motion because that's the big one that's out there right now. But God, Operator from Sam Barnett. I loved it so much, and I need more. I need more.
Yeah,
give me more of that.
I saw when you posted about that, and so I did take an opportunity to check it out, being that it was only about 45 minutes worth of stuff. And yeah, really interesting, really creative. I don't want to spoil too much, but there's a specific technique in the animation that is used that involves some of the characters' eyes that I really, it really like. It
Yes.
took that Uncanny Valley thing to a whole new level because I have that same experience with stop motion, especially claymation. You know, like there's, especially if you have that claymation where they're not using the really expensive professional clay that avoids, you know, fingerprints and stuff, so you get
that grittiness.
Undulating sort of, it's never quite, it's like everything is kind of slightly writhing under the skin, and it's really interesting story. I think the way that it develops from one chapter to the next was really interesting. Would be very interested to see where this continues to go. The last one did say episode 3 of 3 for now. So
I enjoyed it so much.
Yeah, I definitely think he also, like, the first one has no dialogue. It's like a silent stop motion movie. Like, there's audio in the background, but there's no dialogue. Yeah, there's like an off-screen speaker box or whatever.
Yep.
But no, good stuff. Definitely take some time to check it out, especially if you're a fan of stop motion.
Yep. It gave me Mad God vibes, but I think that's just like how everybody compares certain movie styles to like the epitome of exactly what that movie style should
be.
Yeah,
everything
God,
going forward
comparable.
For the rest of my life will be judged on the Mad God scale.
Yeah. Still one of the best movies I've seen in my whole life.
Unreal. So
fantastic.
Good. I need to go back and check that out again soon.
This is also a reminder because I think I've mentioned on the podcast. I don't know if I have, but if you were scared shitless by Gumby as a kid, especially when the blockheads had that like a part where they came and picked him up and put him in an ambulance, I think that's where my medical horror fascination plus being terrified of situation started. So if you were terrified of Gumby, hit me up. We need a support group. Gumby scared the shit out of me. I had so many nightmares about blockheads. So Gumby, terrifying operator from Sam Barnett, not as terrifying as Gumby, but very good. My next one that I wanted to talk about was one that I recommended to you, which was Soft Liquid Center. This was a 2024 release. It had several fun squelches in a 15 minute or maybe like 10 minute, 5 minute. I have no idea what time is. This section involving a watermelon and lots of squelching, and it was great. And I've realized that if it has a squelching subtitle, I'm gonna at least somewhat like it. There are a few exceptions, but Soft Liquid Center was not one of them. I recommended it to JD because I totally thought he was gonna love it, and he was a little bit more tepid than I was. JD, would you like to give your spoiler-free thoughts?
Yeah,
on Soft Liquid Center.
Yeah, first of all, I totally forgot that this was this month. It must have been very, very early on in the month.
It was right at the beginning.
Look, I'll be honest with you. I don't, at this point, really even remember a lot about the movie. I know from a visual standpoint, like stylistically, it looks like it was like shot on 16 millimeter. It's very much got that lo-fi grain. I believe you referenced it visually in comparison to Ennis Main. Which, from a visual standpoint, I understand, and even also from a storytelling standpoint to an extent. There were bits of this that were just a little bit, I think ultimately what it is I wasn't able to decipher this one quite as much as I would like to have been able to, and because of that, I didn't connect with it. It's one that I might go back to again at some point. And try to take another pass through. I didn't hate it by any means. I just wasn't as taken by it as you were.
Okay. That's fair.
But it's worth seeing. It's worth seeing, I think, for sure.
It has such a... It's very indie. It has only 98 ratings on IMDb, and it's only a 4.3 out of 10. And I think that is completely wrong. Also, it says it came out in 2023, not 2024. My bad. But I really enjoy it. There's a hidden story in there, of course, because everything has a meaning these days. And once you figure it out, I'm sure that's why it has a terrible rating, because some people went, nah, but I really enjoyed the hidden meaning in there. I really enjoyed the way that scares are delivered. I really like any sort of just like reality fuckery where you don't quite know what's going on, whether that's time fuckery or is this a real person fuckery or am I being watched or is it in my head fuckery. So I like any of that where like paranoia could play a part, but this could actually be like a real thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Soft Liquid Center. I enjoyed it. If you didn't, don't come at me. We all have different opinions. I like Soft Liquid Center. And there's
does have, it has some squelches. It's creative. It does have almost even a little bit of like some folk horror-y, witchy horror kind of vibes going on as well. I almost immediately I'm like, I really do need to, because I remember it, but I don't remember it in detail. And I feel like I may need to give that one another shot.
My favorite thing about Soft Liquid Center is that there is a character named Brenda. The IMDb page says that they are played by Brenda. No last name. When you go to the IMDb page of this Brenda actress, it says that they are the, what would LIII be? Like the 15th, I don't know, in Roman 53rd. Numerals? Jesus. Okay, L is 50. So yeah, Brenda the 53rd and nothing else on their IMDb catalog. And you know what? I love that.
There are, that means there are 52 other people on IMDb only credited as Brenda.
Yep. And I bet Brenda. They're all her. That would be great. I would love
Okay, so the more I sit here and think about this, this is the one where I can't say it because it'll be too spoilery. But I sent you that message about the, because there's like the one redheaded lady and the other redheaded lady, and I had that idea. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Yeah.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuckery.
Yeah, fuckery indeed.
Fuckery. Love fuckery. Okay, and then on to
my last
thing.
So I guess I lied. I did see a couple of things.
Yeah. No, you absolutely sent me a complete breakdown that I cannot discuss at all because it will spoil everything.
Oh, why can I not remember? Wow, I feel terrible. I'll have to, please send it back to me so I can know what I did.
Okay, sounds good. I'll go find that when we're done.
That's the wrong way to have said that, so I can know what I did.
It's because you delete all your messages, and you can't go back and find them.
I delete everything.
That's wild.
Michelle.
That's
the whole thing.
Anyway. On the opposite side, I delete nothing. Okay, so the last
equally
category.
Equally crazy, just on the other end of the spectrum.
Fair.
You're an email hoarder, Michelle.
I am. I don't delete them. My inbox is currently empty, though, and I'm very proud of that. Everything's in folders. They're not deleted, but I'm very proud that I got through all of them today. Okay, last thing in recent horror. Oh, my God. I finished it last night. Season 2 of Them. It got released April 25th. I spent the weekend kind of pacing myself. I wanted to binge it, but then I decided that I needed to give myself a little bit of time in between like one or two episodes to like process and really think about it. God, Them is, I guess, I don't know if it's considered anthology, but each season is its own unique story, like American Horror Story.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's seasonally and a seasonal anthology.
Yes, seasonal anthology. I like that. The first season of Them got released years ago. I didn't think we were getting a second season. I thought it was just a standalone thing. There's something in, I think, like episode 4 that is one of the like most upsetting things I've ever seen. And the fact that it was in a show as opposed to a movie is wild to me, because usually shows, I don't think, try to cross lines as much as movies do because they're trying to be more universally accepted. But man, season 1 had some stuff that was very upsetting. So when I found out there was a season 2 coming, I was very excited. My social media blew up immediately about how good this season was. It is kind of a true crime story, but with very strange paranormal things interwoven. I'm trying to be very careful so I do not give away anything now that I know what happened. But it is not just like a person was murdered and we try and figure out who is how were they murdered? How is this possible? What do you mean there's another one? What's the connection? Whoa, how was this guy murdered? It's that thing of like, this cannot be explained, but we're trying to explain it. And then there is a revelation in the final episode that made me gasp so loud, and I was so excited with how certain things got tied together. It is incredibly creepy. The teenage son from season two is fantastic. Obviously the lead actress is very good too, but God, the teenage son really, he's going through some stuff, and I felt for him, especially later in the season. But them, season one and season two, you don't have to check out season one. I recommend it though. You know, it'll be a while until we get season three, if we ever do. So you may as well go watch both. They are on Prime, and God, I love them so much.
Yeah, this is one of those things that obviously I saw the title of when the first season dropped back whenever, and I never got around to watching it. And then when this one came out, I started seeing a lot of people talking about it, and I don't remember if it was Dread or Bloody, but one of those two had an article about it that I read. You know, one of those clever clickbaity things where they're like, this new series on Prime is got people all dandered up or whatever, and then you just, they won't tell you in the headline.
I hope that's what they said.
It's, they won't just some tell you, gotta click to find out. Yeah, but so it's I just, series are so hard for me these days. It's like which is crazy, because if you knew me 5 years ago, I preferred series, right? Like, I wanted to be able to just digest huge swaths of story content, especially, obviously, if it's done well. But, yeah, I just, I don't know when I would ever find the time. I still haven't even finished Northern Exposure, Michelle, and that dropped on Prime in January.
Jeez.
Yeah, so,
you're,
you know,
so
I mean,
behind.
I know, it's, well, I've just... You run and you run to catch up with the sun, but it's sinking, racing around to come up behind you again.
I was going to say, sometimes it comes up.
Sun is the same in a relative way, but you're older, shorter of breath, and one day closer to death.
Wow. I can't
That's
wait.
Pink Floyd song.
I can't wait to be dead. I'm going to watch so many movies when I'm dead. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Lately, I've been having a lot of discussions with friends over whether they prefer TV shows and miniseries versus movies. And out of my friend group, very few of us prefer movies. So many like TV shows and being able to consume a lot of story around the same, I don't know, like story, like they just want more and more and more of that thing. And over here, I'm like, no, give me a concept, deliver it in an hour and a half and hope
that
it scares me.
No, I think honestly, I would come down somewhere in the middle. Like, I think what I said there is crucial. I'm only interested in something being serialized if the story is there, right?
Yeah.
There are some things where, like, I don't want to see Ari Aster's Hereditary the series.
No,
you know, I don't even want to see, frankly, like, friggin' Late Night with the Devil, the series, or any of, I don't want to see Brooklyn 45, the series. Some of these are, but yeah, when it's done well, I do personally, I would rather have an A+ series than an A+ feature, I guess is what I'm saying. But
yeah,
I love them both.
I'm not that way. If you give me the opportunity to watch like two things that had incredibly high praise, I will always pick the movie. I think it's because I consume so much media. So knowing that Them was something that I got through in a couple of days and was absolutely hooked by it, that's how good it is. I don't watch a lot of TV shows. I watch like mini documentaries that are a couple episodes because Netflix insists that every documentary has to be at least 3 episodes now. But outside of that, I'm not a huge TV show person. So Them is great. Them are good.
If I've been paying attention, you said that was the end of the new shit.
Yes, you may make your statement now. episode.
No, I don't have. I don't want to make it here. You'll do that at the end. It's later. It's not that important. Yeah, at the end.
JD has big news.
It's not big.
I know. It's a joke. It's a joke.
Michelle, stop making me seem like I'm self. Look, I'm well aware of how self-important I am. I don't need you to rub it in public with these people. They already know, too. They already know JD's folded himself.
Self-important. My name is in the title, okay? Michelle in review, and you're like, don't make me seem self-important. I'm like, JD's also here. He has news. Keep listening.
Well, what are you just not going to tell him the story about how it's called Michelle in Review because I had a weird guilt episode and decided it needed to be a Michelle-focused thing?
What? Because us weird guilt episodes?
Never.
I'm perfectly mentally healthy.
I believe that means next what we do is we have Michelle talk about old shit that she saw. Now, she said we defined. I will say she defined. And because this is Michelle in review, that's the definition we work with. But Michelle's definition of old shit is just like pre-COVID. Like before 2020.
Yep.
If you're
it's older horror, that's still 4 years of I consume a lot of the recent stuff. I do only have one thing on my older horror list, though.
Ridiculous of services would still have this content in their new releases section.
Yep. But no, I consume too much stuff. I need an older horror section. Plus, older horror, sometimes I just dig in to things that I haven't seen in a long time, and I know I had a strong opinion about, and I know I need something in the older horror section. So this is kind of nice because it does mean that I'm not just watching new releases constantly. And that is what happened in April. And I still don't know how I feel about the decision that I made. I did want to go back and rewatch something. I hadn't felt disgusted in a while. So I really just wanted to go and be appalled. I have a list that I don't think I put on Letterboxd, but of extreme horror. And I remembered that there was one thing on my extreme horror list that I haven't seen in like 14 years. And I was like, I don't have a huge memory of this. I was mostly just confused the first time I saw it. Let's go see how I feel now that I am a more seasoned adult and not 20 years old. Went back. I got the Criterion collection copy in the mail. And I watched Salo or the 100 Days of Sodom from 1975.
It's 120 days and you are a dummy.
What did I say?
Why would you do this? You said 100 days.
Oh, 120 days. I have it written. My brain shut off, I guess.
Why would you do that to yourself?
It's not as bad as I remember. That's why. Like, it's now.
Hang on.
Yeah.
It's not as bad as you remember. That's why. You the math. Fuck, go ahead.
Okay. So it's 49 years later. I watched it as an English dub. And I think that made it a lot more tolerable because I'm not trying to read subtitles while horrifying things are happening and I'm missing plot points and then I'm just confused. I actually am very interested in, I don't think I'm ever going to read the full book, but the book that the movie is loosely based on. It was actually like kind of funny at parts, which I was not expecting. And I find it mostly interesting how the writer or director, I don't remember what his role, but how he was killed after making this movie. And you know what? Good on him. I hope he has a good ghost. If you've never heard of Salo or the 100 Days of Sodom, it is on so many people's lists as like one of the most upsetting movies out there. And I would say it still deserves to be on that list. It is a bunch of rich folks who kidnapped a bunch of young teenagers. I was very happy to confirm that all of them were adults when they made this movie. But they are very young and they just make them be submissive to whatever the whims of these rich people feel like doing. And it is definitely upsetting. It's not as upsetting as I remember, which I was very confused about because I thought I was going to be like, not able to watch the TV, but I guess I'm just hardened now, like a
Well,
metapod.
yeah. I was gonna say, to be fair, at least from a graphic and detailed standpoint, like I've definitely seen much more severe things since then. So yeah, I think there is a certain amount of desensitization, but it's one of those things where you have to come at it with an awareness of when they did this. This was not a thing people did. Like this upset a lot of people.
Yeah, no, it upset me the first
for
time.
The reasons that Michelle vaguely talked about there, because even with this, no spoilers, but
I know. Plus I don't want to talk about the content in this movie.
No, it's disgusting.
What's interesting is that the movie itself, watching it, I was like, horrifying concept. Not as graphic as I remember. One of those like Texas Chainsaw Massacre things where I remembered things in vivid detail that they never show you. So it stuck with me like that. And then I kept thinking about it and it haunted me for like a week later. It was one of those where during the viewing experience, not so bad. So if you haven't seen it, you know, you're probably gonna watch it and be like, meh, whatever. But knowing all that I know about that movie now and the inner workings of that movie and what it's based on, and just the general concept, it's interesting that 14 years ago it shocked me and made me very upset in the moment. And now watching the movie, not so bad, but afterwards is where it just kept coming back. And like I would think about it randomly and be like, oh God, that's horrifying. So I just wanted to see how my thoughts had evolved in the last 14 years for something so extreme like Salo.
My question with anything that goes to extremity on any level, be it violent extremity or, you know, torture, abusive extremity or sexual extremity or whatever it is, my question is always, like, where do they find people who are willing to participate in this? Like somebody said, okay, in this movie, you are going to rape and torture and murder this woman. And they said, yeah, sounds like a good time. Look, this is not a judgment. This is just me being fascinated by human psychology. And I also have, like you, very concerned about, even when we're talking about, you know, maybe age of consent, but still, you know, 18, 19-year-old.
Still very young.
I genuinely wonder sometimes what kind of unintentional trauma is being genuinely inflicted on these people who are just trying to recreate for artistic purposes a traumatic experience. You know, like we pretended to traumatize ourselves and we ended up traumatized. I wonder about that. And this is one of those movies. This, like, it's a legend for a reason.
Yeah, I wish we got like a where are they now from 49 years later,
like,
of like,
yeah, like,
what
just
are those
straight
actors
up, this
up to?
This is like the Serbian film of 1975, right? Like this is levels of just fucked up that you would not expect until you saw it.
Yep. Well, that's all I had for older horror. Do you have something new
that's
to
all
add to older horror?
You know, there is one thing that I saw on older horror. After we had our little event with the Toxic Avengers series, I did wonder, I was like, man, is if I go back and rewatch some of these things, is my memory of all this stuff going to be ruined? And I am happy to report that it is ridiculous. And there are a couple of early mid-80s moments where they use certain vocabulary in their dialogue that they would never get away with today. But by and large, hilarious and fun, and I had a good time with all over again, Surf Nazis Must Die. It's so ridiculous. It's like an 80s street gang movie, but they're surfer street gangs, and this one that's the bad guys have like taken, like they're not even Nazis. They just call themselves Nazis and have taken on all the trappings, right? Like the dude calls himself Mengele, but there's like they're not specifically like they're not hunting down different racial groups. They're just trying to dominate the beach, right? The beach is surf Nazi territory, and it's so ridiculous. And again, I can definitely see how people obviously might have just take issue with the simple fact of using that in this context, and I get that. But I at least didn't feel like people were being exploited and stereotyped like I did with a lot of the Toxic Avenger stuff.
Wow, well, I do. Those poor surfer dudes. Like, you're comparing me to what, dude? Tubular, not tubular. No cowabunga.
Yeah, so surf Nazis must die. It was a good time.
Jeez, maybe I'll check it out. You were messaging me while you were watching it, and I was like, you're not going to convince me, but maybe.
I believe I sent you a few screen grabs that if they didn't convince you just on their power alone, you're probably fine not ever watching it.
I'll watch it.
If you didn't think that image of the person on the motorcycle was not enough to say, I need to see this movie, then there's no point.
Okay. Well, there's no point because I went, yep. That was my reaction.
That's not an image that didn't just make you say, oh, I got to know how the fuck we got here.
No. I'm a child of the internet. I've seen every type of image that you can. And I went, yep. Okay.
All right.
Nothing impresses me now.
Fair enough.
Okay, non-horror or non-horror shit? How does this fit into our naming convention? This non-horror shit.
Not, yeah, non-shit.
Well, it might be shit. Who knows? Not
Who
today,
knows?
Though. It is. It's good stuff. Okay, so first one. I started with an action film to discuss, and then we're going to switch gears wildly. So I had some mood swings when it came to the little bit of viewing that I had going on in April. Because we went from...
Surprise!
I don't know if you heard that because he wasn't holding his microphone, but I hope you did. Okay, so it was available for rent. I just bought it on Prime because I had a feeling I was going to like it. I was right. Thank God I spent $24 for a good reason. Monkey Man, starring Dev Patel. So many people said, oh, well, it's just John Wick with Dev Patel. Yeah, it is. You sold me. Are you kidding me? I also told our friend Aaron, who we've talked about being like insultingly funny. He's never done stand-up, and yet he has like some of the best deliveries. Like after Skinamarink, he said Skinamarinky don't.
Skinamarinky don't.
Still one of the funniest things ever. And then I was telling him, you have to see Monkey Man. You're going to love this. And he responded, Slumdog Killionaire.
Jesus Christ.
Isn't
God damn it,
so
Aaron.
Good?
That's beautiful.
I love Dev Patel, and that is just... But yeah, it's John Wick with Dev Patel, and people are saying that like it's a bad thing. No, I want John Wick with Dev Patel. It's great. It's... Oh my God, the action, like the fights are so good. They're so good. I loved Monkey Man. If you're into just like Dev Patel kicking some ass, check it out. Check it out for sure. It's so fun.
I don't even really care about Dev Patel specifically. I just
I do
occasionally just like a movie where somebody just kicks some ass for 90 minutes or so.
He does that. He absolutely does
good.
That.
Is it how long is it? Is it only about 90 minutes or so? That's about my limit.
Yeah, it's a reasonable length. Yep.
Because here's what I have to tell you. Is you may do some high quality ass kicking in your movie, but if your movie runs longer than about 90 minutes, why wouldn't I just go watch Bloodsport again?
Which I still have not seen, even though I
what
told you
the...
months ago I was going to watch it, and you got really upset that I hadn't seen it, and I just realized I still haven't. Oh, it is 2 hours. I'm sorry. But it was worth it. It was worth it. Well, JD's furious. Well, I did also watch Old Boy again. It's not
That's
on
good
my
one.
List. But watching it the second time, it just you know what's going to happen, and it lost something, unfortunately. Fight scenes are still great. The hammer scene, I still cannot watch. But it's, if you haven't seen Old Boy, go check that out. Look up nothing about it. That first watch really stuck with me. Just rewatching, I'm like, oh, I know what's going to happen. So I'm kind of missing the
hammer
wish I could
fight.
Watch it for the first time again. Yeah, hammer fight. Oh, God. Okay.
I still can't watch it.
Ugh.
Stuff with hammers, I agree. There's something about a hammer that,
I've been trying to
figure
out.
Like, Something about just like a claw hammer, even just like a handheld claw hammer, like even not like a sledgehammer or anything, just like a handheld claw hammer. There's just something so vicious about that.
There's a movie from like the 80s or 90s. I remember it from my childhood. It stuck with me. You know, I watched a lot of horror movies growing up at way too early of an age, and that's why I'm fucked up now. One of the horror movies that I'm trying to remember is where there's just a boot with a severed foot in it, and it just goes hopping around and killing people. So I'm trying to remember what that movie was, because that sticks with me all the time. I was scared shitless as a kid about a boot with a severed foot that like killed a lady by kicking her. But one of the other things that, like, every time I'm holding a hammer, I get this thought from some movie that I don't remember, and it's something where there's a kid who can like control people, and she's holding a hammer, or not she, the adult is holding a hammer, and the child makes them hit themselves in the face with the hammer until they die. And I always have that thought when I hold a hammer now, and that's not a thought you want to have when you're holding a hammer. I'm always like, I could claw myself in the face with this, like that little girl made the adult do. I have no idea what the fuck that movie is, so I can't watch it and get it out of my head. So now just every time I hold a hammer, you gotta, is she gonna do it? Someday,
is it
probably.
Happen? Is it?
Yeah. Sometimes you just gotta bash yourself in the face with a hammer.
Yeah, I mean, every now and then. I'm not sure if I've told this story on the podcast before, but my biggest memory involving hammers, the most terrifying thing involving hammers is one time when I was a child, I was in my brother's room, and I don't even remember what the context or the sequence of events was, but for some reason, he was holding this small hammer, not like a full size, like from a kid's wood bench Christmas gift kit or whatever, and he starts just sort of swinging the hammer in the air, and then all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, the hammerhead flew off the cheap-ass hammer, and it slammed into the wall, not half an inch from the side of my head, real loud and real hard. And I've kind of been terrified of hammers ever since.
You ever
almost been accidentally murdered with a hammer by your brother when you were 14 years old?
No, but I'm sure I've been almost on purpose murdered with a hammer by my brother. We fought a lot growing up. Well, now he's cool.
He doesn't swing hammers at you anymore?
Not anymore. Now we're both adults and the cops are
now involved. We swing hammers at our mutual enemies together.
Yeah. Captain Hammer, the hammer is my penis. Okay, documentaries. A day does not go by that I do not quote Dr. Horrible. I can't help it. Okay, documentaries. This is what I spent a lot of my non-horror time on. I've been on a documentary kick. I love documentaries. Give me any bit of information that you want to make it interesting. I will be hooked. I watched so many documentaries. Out of the 39 movies I watched, several of them were documentaries. And I'm about to tell you about four of them. So that tells you there's a pretty good chunk. I just started Secrets of the Octopus on Hulu, and that's fucking great. I love octopuses. They are phenomenal.
You mean octopi?
No, it is not octopi. It's based on the Greek or the Latin origin. It is either octopuses or octopodes.
Well, I'm gonna say octopi, and I don't care.
I know
what
octopi
you
sounds
say.
So much better, and sometimes I say it knowing it's wrong. But yeah,
I might also say octopi.
You know what? I am okay with octopi.
Octopi.
Octopi. That sounds great. Right. So documentaries, I wasn't just going to watch documentaries about happy stuff. Of course, I had to watch it about upsetting things. Shudder has a documentary series that I was not familiar with at all called The Core from 2017. Holy shit, that's a great show. It's just a guy interviewing horror icons, including filmmakers and stars and special effects masters, and just getting into some of their favorite scenes. And each one is themed based on something or another. The very first one started with what's the movie that almost made me throw up? Not Cujo. It's Flying Lotus. We did it on
oh,
the show.
Cuso.
Cuso, thank you. Yeah, the first one started with Cuso, and I was
you hit Cujo, and I was like, "It's what other Stephen King movie is it?" And then I realized, no, "Oh no, she was talking about the word."
Yeah, no, The Core is phenomenal. If you're a movie fan and you want to get into the behind the scenes stuff, The Core, so fun. Did you ever watch it, JD?
No, I know the guy who hosts it is named Mickey Keating, and I'm familiar, like I know what you're talking about, but I've never had the chance to sit down and watch it, no.
Oh, it's a good Saturday afternoon to just hang out and like see how a lot of effects were done and hear from all sorts of legendary filmmakers what their favorite films and scenes are. There were also movies that were referenced that I'd never heard of before, just some classics that they're like, oh yeah, it's inspired by this thing. It was really cool. I added a lot of stuff to my watch list following that. So yeah, if you're a horror fan and you want to see behind the scenes of some stuff, The Core on Shudder. I also watched Dark Marvels on Hulu, which is just based on inventions that cause destruction. So like the invention of like public execution things or like guillotines and all sorts of stuff. It's just like if it's a Dark Marvel, it's in that show. And if you just want to see how some shit was made, check out Dark Marvels on Hulu.
Hey, Michelle,
Yeah.
guess what I just found out?
Oh no.
That no, that that guy Mickey Keating, who did that TV show that you're that show The Core you were just talking about, you know what else he did?
I know the name, but I don't know what else he's done.
He directed that movie Off Season that we watched about the island. You remember that one? Off Season?
This is a hilarious synchronicity because I was trying to remember the name of that movie and I was going to ask you when we got done recording because I remember I gave it a 2 out of 5 and you were like, how did it get a 2? And then I dropped it to like a 0.5 later. So I'm glad that you reminded me the name of that because I'm trying to update our website to have all of the past ratings. And
Yeah.
now I know. I'm so sorry,
Yeah,
Mickey Keating. I
that
really
was
did not
one
like
that
that movie.
yeah, that was one that Michelle and I didn't care for. I will also immediately point out though that he also made a movie that I love, which was 2015's Darling. I think that's a
Oh,
fantastic movie.
that's
There's
where I know the
also
name from then.
yeah. He also made a movie called Ritual. He made a movie called Pod. He made a movie called Carnage Park. These are all names that I'm familiar with, stuff that I've seen around. I just haven't gotten around to seeing. But now I really want to check out The Core.
Yeah, no, check out The Core because it's hosted by him and it's just fun.
Isn't
It's just a
Glenn
fun time.
Danzig on one of those episodes?
Yes.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, it's great, but it
My
also
favorite.
has Freddy Krueger, the real guy. So it's
My
great.
the wait, there's no
The
real
real
Freddy
guy.
Krueger?
Yes, there is. He
Oh,
pretends to
shit.
be an actor and he plays himself. Haven't you seen New Nightmare?
Oh, for God's sake. Anyway, Michelle, what is
You
the other
told me I had to watch
documentary
New
thing
Nightmare.
you were talking about?
Besides Dark Marvels, or did you want me? I was basically done talking about Dark Marvels.
Oh, okay.
It's inventions around death. It's great. And then my last documentary, I went down a rabbit hole and I should not have done this. I cried so much on a Sunday. And it wasn't even like the impending doom of like my week's about to start again and people will have to like talk to me and I can't just be secluded in a basement. I watched so many documentaries about the one child policy in China. There's one called One Child Nation from 2019, which is a woman who was raised in China and now has a child of her own, and she goes back to where she was raised to talk to her neighbors and her family about what that was like, and like forced abortions and kidnapping women and forcing them to be sterilized. And just I'd heard of it. I had never watched not like footage of it happening, but like I'd never heard firsthand accounts like that. And I was very upset. And then I made the mistake of watching another documentary called The Dying Rooms from 1995, which was a half hour BBC special where they go to orphanages in China where abandoned children are sent to die. And at first, it's not that bad. And then it gets really, really bad. And I was bawling when I saw who the movie was dedicated to. So, Jesus Christ.
I feel terrible that I'm laughing right now, but I would like to point out that out of context, what you just said was it's a movie about an orphanage where they send abandoned children to die, and at first it wasn't so bad.
Because they said that they didn't know if that was a real thing. And so for a while you're like, oh, well, this isn't good. This isn't good by any means, but it's not as bad as what the rumors say. But then then they dig deeper. And oh my God, I was bawling. I don't even really particularly love children, but dear God, I cried so hard on a Sunday and I'm never doing that again. If you just want to wreck yourself for a day, One Child Nation and The Dying Rooms and whatever else documentaries are out there, Jesus Christ, I cried so hard. And Jesus, it was a lot. It was a
I would
lot.
also advise, I mean, if you do want to wreck yourself, that is one way to do it. But another way to do it would be to simply not check yourself.
Okay, gotcha. Just wreck yourself. Don't check
Well,
yourself.
if you
You
don't
know what?
check yourself, you're
That's some
going to
good
wreck
advice.
yourself, you know?
No, that's fair. I
You
should
better
just
check
not check
yourself before
myself.
you wreck yourself. Yeah, just don't
That's what
check yourself, and
happened.
then you wreck yourself, and
That's what happened on Sunday. I did not check
you did
myself
not
before I
check
delved
yourself.
into a rabbit hole of one child policies in China. Dear God. Okay. It's one of those things I knew of, but like had no idea. Yeah.
Michelle, at what I'm just
Yeah.
at what point along that process did no like how is it that nowhere in the decision making involved there did any alarms in your mind, considering how well you know yourself and the number of things you've been through? What part of you at any point said, no, I'm not gonna cry?
Curiosity killed the cat,
I
meow.
mean, to, yeah, but satisfaction brings it back, and you're alive, so
I
what
was not
satisfaction did you
satisfied.
get out of a documentary about dead children?
I mean, afterwards I watched Monkey Man, so that must have been it. That was my palate cleanser.
Let's get out of this before this gets any weirder, Michelle. What
I
are so that
know.
was your non-horror stuff.
That
Here's the
was my
only non
non-horror.
I did watch some non-horror things this month. Mostly Food Network Tournament of Champions
Yep.
5.
Of course.
That's news like sports, so I don't care if you like if you want to Manit Chauhan won. She won the second one and now she won the fifth one. There've been four winners in 5 years. Every single one of them has been a woman. There's been, I want to say, seven different people who have made it to the semifinals in the last 5 years. Only like two dudes, I think. Females in the kitchen are fucking dominating competition cooking right now, and it's pretty great.
Not me. I can't cook for
Brooke
shit.
Williamson, Manit Chauhan, Mei Lin, and Tiffany Faison. Those are your four Tournament of Champions best fucking competition cooks in America, according to
I burned a
that
bagel in a
competition.
toaster oven last night.
Sweet. Cool.
Not good.
Other than that, I watched a bunch of training videos at work.
Oh, yeah, it was training video season. Do not get me started on Inside Man. I'm adding Inside Man to next month's. It's a cybersecurity training video for my corporation. I fucking love
Let's
it.
review HIPAA regulations.
Well, that was my last job. This job, I get to learn about cybersecurity. Let's go into news because
News.
I news.
Olds.
I only news, new shit, kind of. We've got new shit at the beginning. Now this is news shit later on. Okay, just two quick things. We're going a little bit lighter on the horror news right now because festivals are there's not like a big one happening this month, so I don't have a ton of like
Excuse me?
things. Oh, well, okay, Chicago Horror Film Festival is coming up, which we are a sponsor of. I meant like Sundance. As excited as I am, it is not Sundance, and there are not multiple news organizations
Only a
reporting.
sponsor of the festival. And she's like, there's no big deal festival coming up this month. It's 4 days away, Michelle.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I am a goldfish in one ear, out the other. Do goldfish have ears? Who knows? I'm sure somebody does, but not
I'm just saying, if they're listening there at the Chicago Horror Film Festival office, they're probably pretty fucking glad you're not going to be there.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm also just very annoying, even more so in person.
It's
So it's good
fine.
that I won't be there. I'm a lot. Okay, so for the news, oh God, I was gonna make a joke. Whatever, we're just gonna tell you news instead. There's a movie that was announced called Thrill Ride from Ryuhei Kitamura. So sorry, I tried. I did not look up how to pronounce. I should have done that. But it is the story of a bunch of people who are on a roller coaster, and the roller coaster stops in a loop where they're all upside down,
Fucking nope.
and then one by one, the killer drops them to their deaths. That sounds great.
Nope.
That
Fucking
sounds
nope. That sounds so great. Fucking nope. Nope.
Yeah, that's going to be like my fall. Like fall really freaked me out. I'm looking forward to Thrill Ride. Oh my God, that's going to get the heart racing. That sounds great.
I already know more than I ever wanted to know. I hope to never see this nightmare in my waking life.
Well, don't get on a roller coaster then. Just watch it on a movie theater. That would still be in my waking life, Michelle. But you don't have to see it in person. I don't even want to see it on a movie screen.
I don't want to have that experience in my brain at all. I've already seen too much. I saw like a 10-second clip and I'm like, nope, I'm not watching that movie. Nope.
I just like movies where the danger is very real until the end credits roll, like Fall. Fall made me like I couldn't breathe at certain parts. And then I went, OK, well, I'm fine. I'm never going to be at the top of a radio tower. So no concern there. I do ride roller coasters. Though,
I mean, not with that attitude. You're not.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, God, I might go on a roller coaster someday. This would be a great roller coaster.
You might
ride
climb a radio
a roller
tower
ride
one day.
Based on the fuck. No, I will not. I will die before I will. No, hell no. Okay, my other piece of news. This one's for you. So two Evil Dead movies are coming. We have one from Sebastian Vanacek, who just did Infested, which we just reviewed. They signed on Francis Galuppi to make a second Evil Dead movie at the same time.
I'm not sure how I feel about that. I don't even mean that in a bad way. I'm just cautious when they tell me they're going to be doing two of anything at the same time.
Yeah.
It's like, maybe just do one and then see if it seems like a good idea to make another one. That's what most people do.
I don't understand it at all. I'm hoping it goes well for both of them, but I don't know if I've ever heard that of them being like, we're going to remake our movie with two different people at the same time.
Wait, remake? Isn't it just a...
All I know is it's two Evil Dead movies. I don't know if it's a continuation. I have no idea.
This is quite literally news to me. This is the very first I've heard any talk of this. I'm going to have to do some goddamn research.
Let me know what you find, because I could find was very little.
At this point, I am still very much an Evil Dead franchise fan. I loved all three of the original films. The Fede Alvarez reboot I didn't care for, but I thought Evil Dead Rise was fantastic. That's 4 out of 5. That's a better record than most 5-title franchises I can think of. So, I mean, yeah, as long as they turn out good, I'm down for it. I will take me some more Evil Dead, but I'll tell you this much. Evil Dead Rise is going to be a tough act to follow. I've seen that one 3 times now. I've gone back and watched it on streaming twice since it dropped, and it's still every bit as good. God, what a movie. Yep. Stephanie!
It's baffling. Baffling, but I thought you would find that interesting if you didn't know, and I'm
absolutely
glad you did not.
I got to call Mike Loger immediately. Mike Loger and I watched all three of the original Evil Dead movies in a marathon theatrical screening in 2002 at the Maplewood Theater in Maplewood, Minnesota, suburban Twin Cities. It's $15. We sat there for 5 hours watching the Evil Dead. It was fucking dope.
That's way too much at once for me.
Shut up.
That's too much.
That was rude. What else do we got to talk about in the news?
Literature. I just got literature next. Book shit. So I read some books. I'm just going to rattle some of them off. Trixie and Katya's Guide to Womanhood. Trixie Mattel and Katerina Zamolodchikova are two of my favorite drag queens. They have a book called Guide to Womanhood, and it's hilarious. Ankle Snatcher by Grady Hendrix. I've been on a Grady Hendrix kick because of Jenna, who now people have partially heard from on the Cabin in the Woods episode. She's been on Grady Hendrix's kick. I've been reading some of his stuff. He has a short story called Ankle Snatcher that I really enjoyed. Still working my way through all of Chuck Palahniuk's library and just finished Rant. Rant is going to be up there as one of my favorite Chuck Palahniuk books. I loved it.
Which one is Rant?
Rant is where there is this young man who people kind of view as like a religious figure, and they like follow in his footsteps. And it's firsthand accounts from all the people he's known throughout his life telling stories about him.
I don't think I've
and
heard
he'll
that
be like,
one.
Oh man, I loved it.
Which one's the one with the weird island where like there's all the houses and perfect neat little rows?
Yes. Oh God, I don't remember the title. I know exactly what which one you're talking about. Where her husband was a carpenter making
Yeah.
weird co Yeah. I
He
don't remember
made
the
weird
name of that one.
modifications to houses.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Is that your
We'll just
favorite
leave
one?
it at that. I wouldn't say it's my favorite. It's one that I
Mm-hmm.
enjoyed. I thought it was good. My favorite is probably Diary.
Okay.
I just
Diary's
I
good.
or not Diary, excuse me, Lullaby.
Oh, yes. Is there also a
The
diary?
yeah, there's Diary is the
Okay.
one I'm thinking of with the house. Yeah.
Oh,
With the
okay.
guy with
There
the houses,
we
you know, because he left other things in houses besides just weird modifications. Anyway, I don't want to say too much. Yeah, Diary is the other one. That's why I thought of it. No, Lullaby, with the not just for the main, like it's again, I don't want to say too much because I don't want to give away a lot of the conceit of it, but it's one of his, I think, more fantastical stories in the way that it operates. But there's also this side plot involving some masochistic sort of like self-punishment, almost like you know, the religious guys who would flog themselves, you know, mortification of the flesh or whatever. A very Chuck Palahniuk spin on that concept because like you get it right away, but then also it's like, oh, that's real gross and real painful, and I don't ever want to think about that ever again. But yeah, that one I really like, Lullaby. It's good. Invisible Monsters was good. Choke was good.
I was about to say, Haunted is my favorite. It's
I
an
hate Haunted.
anthology, of
I hate
course. Of
it.
course,
I
Haunted is my
hate it.
favorite. Choke and Rant are tied for second place. Choke might be a little bit higher up there, but it would be hard to
There.
pick between one.
Choke, I really like because was that his first novel? I know it was one of the first
It's
that he wrote.
older. Fight Club was 96. Choke was early 2000s. So
I
very young.
also
He hasn't written a ton of books,
I
which is one of the reasons
also
I like him.
I mean I enjoy Fight Club, especially because Fight
Oh, of
Club the
course.
book and Fight Club the movie are two completely different things, and David Fincher
Yeah.
totally missed the point with that movie. But Choke, there's I and again I don't want to spoil it, but there Choke has one of the most brilliant sudden reveals of a fact that twists you into the final act of the story that I have ever seen. It's so simple, it's so deft that it just punches you right in the face when it happens because I had no idea. Until they told me what was happening, I was clueless. And you know
Yep.
me, I like plot and story, like the story and the progression of the events is very important to me, and Chuck is really good at that.
Yeah, choke that kind of like where it flip-flops and suddenly you understand something is how so many of his books are, including Rant. There's a moment where I'm like, "Oh, that's what's going on." The way that he knows what the ending's going to be, and everything ties in perfectly because he like works his way back, and we're
Right.
getting those snippets, and then it makes perfect sense. Like, oh yeah, of course this all ties in a nice little package. Rant does that really well too. I mean, Lullaby does that really well. Diary does that really well. Like, I love his books for that reason because when you get it, it's so perfectly obvious. Or Snuff, which I just read like a month or two ago. When you
I
get
don't
it,
like
you're like,
snuff.
oh, duh. I
Ooh.
know you didn't. I like Snuff. But then you're like, oh, of
Yeah.
course, this makes the most sense. It would make no sense any other way.
Right. You
So yeah,
never see it
Rant,
coming,
fucking
but
great.
once you see it, it could never have been anything else.
Exactly. And he's one of my favorite authors by far. So
Well,
got to rank
thank you
Rant.
for.
I think I'm going to do Survivor next.
Yeah, thank you for listening to We Read Chuck Palahniuk. My name has been JD. Her name has been Michelle. Just for this.
Yeah.
Did you ever read any Bret Easton Ellis, Michelle? We're going to talk about American Psycho here in a little while on another episode.
Is that the author of American Psycho? Because then I've
Have you
read that
never
one
read
book.
it? Yeah.
No, I
You
have.
wrote, yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in the next episode. Additional literature, like I said, I was getting caught up on shit. I got caught up on The Story Must Be Told and The Magnus Protocol. If you like those podcasts, fucking check them out. Because there's more of the Magnus archives. It's now The Magnus Protocol, and it takes place in the same universe, but it's still the same short story structure that you love so much. And The Story Must Be Told also on hiatus right now, but Reed Failer, Brother Reed from The Story Must Be Told, put out a fucking audiobook, and now I'm gonna have to go subscribe to his Patreon. So Story Must Be Told and Magnus Protocol. I know you do not listen to them, JD, so that's just me fangirling for a little bit. I don't listen to a lot of podcasts. I listen to 5 total, including ours, and those are 2 of them.
I was listening to several podcasts for a little while, and then just recently I decided I don't really care about the most of these, and as of now, right now today, there are 2 podcasts aside from our podcast that I have on my subscription list. One of them is, it's called Game Show from the Incomparable Network. It's, a bunch of nerds playing nerd games for our amusement. Like, there's one they call Random Pursuit, where it's like they play Trivial Pursuit, but they take the questions from, like, 30 different editions of Trivial Pursuit and just mix them all together so you have no idea what edition you're going to get.
And it's,
yeah, it's wild. But anyway, and there's a variety of games that they play, but that's the Incomparable Game Show, and then I listen to Werewolf Ambulance.
Oh, of course. Because I knew Werewolf Ambulance.
Look, if you like what Michelle and I do, if you enjoy the stupid banter and the quirky personalities, I don't even feel right calling myself a quirky personality because it feels like I'm bragging or like trying to make myself seem cool or whatever. Look, the point is Werewolf Ambulance. Check it out. Werewolf they just Ambulance. Did an episode about Late Night with the Devil, and I sent them a link to my blog.
I can't believe I just put podcasts under literature, but they don't go anywhere else. So I will wrap it up in a nice little ending by saying that I am now on book 2 of the Fever series. I had mentioned the Fever series like 2 months ago, 3 months ago, how I was going to go back and revisit it. And I said, oh, it's a girl in Ireland and she meets a bookstore owner who's a vampire. Because I could not remember. Oh my God. No, that is not the story at all. For one, it's a smut series, but there is zero sex in the first book. And that was very impressive. Is just sexual tension instead, and it's all about the fae. How the fuck did I forget that it's about the fae when there's so little like media, like movies, books, whatever about the fae, and this is one of them. And then I owned 5 books and I went, oh yeah, I think there's a 6th that came out right after I finished the 5 books, so I'm gonna go back and reread my first 5 and then I'm gonna get that 6th book. Fuck no, there's 11 books. There's 11 books now, so I had to buy 6 more books. I've got, like, the Leaning Tower of Pisa on my coffee table. I haven't even finished the other books. So this is why I had to take a break from movies for the month of May, even though it really does not sound like I really did now. But
For the month of April, you mean?
Or, yeah, for the month of April, partially month of May, because I'm going to be reading the fucking smutty Fever series books. And I hate the lead character, but yet she's so well written. And she does get a little bit more bearable in the second one, but she's just very like, not like other girls where she's like, oh my God, I love books, but I know girls my age aren't into that. They're into cell phones. And why is he making fun of me for being pretty? I can't help that. He made fun of my pink nails. Like it's just, it's insufferable, but she gets better in book 2. My friend Kate, is an English teacher and I was sending her pictures of paragraphs and being like, Kate, this is that book I was telling you about. I think her response was, I would be skimming that so hard. But I love it. She gets better.
A book worth skimming is a book worth skipping.
I'm enjoying it. Still better than Twilight. Okay. That's Michelle in review. See, I did it. I said that it was going to be a quick episode. Here we are at 1 hour and 10 minutes. Every time.
Michelle, it's about time we came to terms with ourselves. We don't really do anything quickly anymore.
I know. I tried you remember, to keep I was, it to an hour. I think I'm unbearable after an hour.
Yeah, I came, but I was like, you know, we had our whole nostalgia thing recently because we dropped our 200th episode and didn't even talk about it because it was that Toxic Avenger episode where we were so distracted. But I did go into just a real nostalgic thing, and I was kind of looking back on some. There's some of those old episodes I really kind of want to go back and listen to because I remember certain conversations being interesting, but I'm also terrified because I'm sure they are not nearly as good as I remember them, or at least not comparable to how we are with our sea legs these days. But I did notice that a whole lot of those, do you realize that it wasn't, like, we have some episodes that weren't even first-year Spooktober episodes, just regular episodes where we reviewed movies 20 minutes.
Yeah.
We haven't had...
Those were the good days.
We're hitting an hour just pretty much every time at this point. Not that that's a... People would tell us, wouldn't they, if that was a problem? Maybe they would just let us flail out here in the wind.
Our numbers would go down.
And they don't, by the way. Our numbers keep going up, up, up. Slowly.
Don't make it sound like we're a big deal. We are absolutely not.
We're a sponsor of the Chicago Horror Film Festival, Michelle. That's a pretty big fucking deal. We got 500 likes on a post on Instagram, Michelle. That's a pretty big fucking deal.
JD, if I may... The statement I was trying to say is very funny because I was trying to say that I'm much more comfortable interrupting you now. I just could not get it out. And that's very funny. Well, then I'm like, oh, never mind.
I wouldn't say that's because you're less comfortable. It's just that sometimes I'm kind of a steamroller.
No, that's just very funny to me that is. I'm trying to say, like, yeah, I interrupt you sometimes now. And then I'm like, but wait, let me tell you that I'm good at interrupting you now.
Oh my God.
That's very funny to me. Okay. You had news of your own to put at the end of this episode.
Not huge news, but I mean, some of you are already aware if you have followed the Ghoul blog. So when we first watched Late Night with the Devil in the theater, I enjoyed it, but I wasn't super blown away. There were bits about it that kept me from getting real carried away and caught up in it. And things there was, especially towards the end, there are some things in the third act that really kind of were like they didn't register right with me at the time because I wasn't caught up in it the way I should have been. And let me tell you, I went back because I had this feeling like there's no way all these people have said this movie is so good and I just missed it. So I went back and I watched it again and... I'm an idiot. This fucking movie is brilliant. There is so much shit going on here that I didn't even notice at all the first time I watched through it. That I just, like, there are layers of storytelling and foreshadowing that I never could have caught the first time because I didn't know what was coming and to recognize it as foreshadowing. But also other stuff that there are things in this movie. It's just, it's so incredibly well written and then so incredibly well directed on top of it. And I have completely had an about face. I've watched the movie 4 times now, 3 times on streaming, because some of you know I did a deep dive and I did a whole like Ghoul blog post of it with screen caps
That's
and everything
that.
Where I went
I
and
love that blog.
I pulled some screen grabs just of a lot of the... of the foreshadowing, a lot of the surprise Easter egg hidden images that are in it. And also, I say it because I've said it a couple of times because I feel like it's right there in front of us, but nobody's talking about it. I seem to have sorted out at least part of like a major portion of what's going on in this movie that just nobody's talking about. I know you mentioned that there were parts of it that... that you definitely had caught on to, and interestingly,
not to the extent you did,
right? Well, but also interestingly, if you read the description of the film on Shudder, and that's all I'm gonna say, but if you read the description of the film on Shudder, I think it very much adds a little backing to my hypothesis. But check out that Ghoul blog about Late Night with the Devil. Check out the movie if you haven't. And this is a perfect example of why I go out of my way these days to know as little as possible about a movie, because what happened is I went in with certain kind of expectations. I was in a mindset to watch the film a certain way because of what I thought it was going to be, what certain marketing things had led me to believe it was going to be, and I just didn't take in the movie the way it needed to. And once I was able to let go of all, you know what I'm really, really fucking anxious about now, Michelle? You remember a while back when the news was going around about that found footage movie that was tearing up festivals, and they were saying the whole big gimmick is it's a found footage movie from the perspective of the bad guy rather than, you know?
Yeah, it comes out next week. This month.
I am terrified
in
that
a violent
just...
nature.
Yeah, no, I thought In a Violent Nature is the one where it's the slasher movie from the perspective of the killer. I'm talking about the paranormal
footage. Yes, you're talking about from the perspective of the ghost.
Yeah,
yes.
The paranormal activity. But here's the thing.
I don't remember when that comes out. Yeah.
I'm worried now that even just that little bit of information is going to influence my experience of the movie the first time I see it. Like, I'm just telling you, be careful these days. And maybe it's always been that way, and I'm just more aware of it is all it is. But just be careful when you're watching trailers or when you're sharing trailers with your friends. There may be things that maybe they don't necessarily mean too much to you, but some of us, look, I really want to know as little as possible. And that's what happened, I think, with Late Night with the Devil. I had certain expectations and certain ideas in my head, and I owe that movie and everybody involved with it an apology. God damn, what a movie. Might be my favorite movie of the year at this point. It's so good.
Well, luckily, I have a mental disability from bashing my face into a windshield in 2008. So if I see a spoiler, I sometimes forget it. That's what's great about my life. I have memory problems.
Glasses. Always find that silver lining, Michelle. Yeah. A traumatic brain injury, but now spoilers aren't such a big deal.
Yeah, exactly. I sometimes forget my name and I have to pull over when I'm driving because I don't know where I am.
But it also doesn't matter that Snape kills Dumbledore.
I was about to say, I know we're not hype about Harry Potter anymore, but many years ago, I did get to read book 7 for what felt like the first time, a second time, because I lost all memory of that book. That was the year before my car accident, and I completely gone. No memory of it. So I did get to read it again and like live tweet friends who cared, and they're like, this is so great. You get to read a good book a second time. That was fun. That was a good time. So yeah, traumatic brain injury, surgeries, all that stuff, but did get to read Harry Potter a second time and sometimes forget things that were spoiled.
That's pretty dope. Maybe I want to go bash my head into a windshield.
I don't recommend it.
That's probably...
But on the plus side, I was a server at the time and I went back to work like 2 days later, covered in bruises. I got great tips that shift.
Oh, I bet you did.
Yeah. People are like, what happened?
Questions?
Like, I was in a car accident. Yeah. People ask like, what happened? I'm like, I almost died. Great tips.
Oh,
great
right
tips
on.
That day.
I was just
advantage.
Do you think, and maybe this is just a fucked up indication of how my brain works, but this is, you told them that you were in a car accident. Do you think there's at least one table of customers that night who went home and said to themselves, that girl got beat up by her boyfriend? And she's telling people she had a car accident.
Yes, because that legitimately happened.
Oh,
where
Jesus.
somebody saw me with our friend Aaron, who I was dating at the time, and he like, I don't remember exactly how it worked, but he did something. I like jumped, and a guy got up to like go after him because he thought he bruised me. And I was like, no, everything's fine. I was like, this was a car. Do you want to see pictures? I have pictures.
Right.
Please
and
chill.
That's from out of context. Like, I totally get it. But the idea, like, if you knew Aaron,
exactly.
The idea, I'm not sure if Aaron, frankly, is even physically strong enough to cause bruises on a human being. I love you, Aaron. You're wonderful.
Now he's going to listen to the podcast. He didn't
before,
he's
not.
But now.
He's several. By the time he gets to this, he'll already be, it'll be October. He'll be caught up in Spooktober again. Exactly. It won't matter.
And he'll have
forget.
Been like bench pressing the whole time. Just like lifting weights, getting real swole. He'll be like, oh no, I'm super beefy.
Love you, Aaron. All right, Michelle, we should probably wrap this up. We still got a whole nother episode we got to record tonight because I'm going to Chicago in a couple of days. So, anything else we need to cover?
No, I think I'm all talked out. We'll see what's left for the next episode.
Well, sweet. Say goodnight, Michelle.
Goodnight, Michelle.
For more horror content, visit WeWatchShudder.com, where you'll find our world-famous, patent-pending Ghoul Blog and Squelch Files, as well as a schedule of upcoming episodes. Find us on social media, at WeWatchShudder, on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and, I guess, Twitter, if you're still doing that for whatever reason. You can email us, mail@WeWatchShudder.com is the address, mail@WeWatchShudder.com. You can even call and leave us a voicemail, 701-566-9510. No, really, 701-566-9510. Give it a shot, see what happens. We Watch Shudder is a production of Rat Factory Media.